Amina then had thus been given the sacred thread. Kuvera, this is another one. Kuvera, the king of the Yakshas, gave him a begging pot. This is Kuvera, the demigod's treasurer. This guy's loaded. What's he give him? He gives him a begging pot. What kind of begging pot that must be? I want one of those. Take one of those begging pots out on Sangatan with you. Begging pot. Oh, and Mother Bhagavati, the wife of Lord Shiva, and most chaste mother of the universe, gave him his first alms. So the first donation he got was from Shiva's wife. Having thus been welcomed by everyone, Lord Vamanadeva, best of the Brahmacharis, then exhibited his Brahman effulgence. Can you imagine the scene? You know, all these people are there, these personalities are there, they're offering things, they're offering mantras, everybody's in ecstasy, and all of a sudden, he just manifests the Brahman effulgence. And he surpassed in beauty that entire assembly, which was filled with great saintly brahmanas. After Lord Sri Vamanadeva set the sacrificial fire, he offered worship and he performed the fire yajna on the sacrificial field. Lord Vamanadeva ki jai, Bharatani. That's funny, he rolls over today. All right, so we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. It's text 54, right? Not marked. Why wouldn't you mark it, you guys? Sorry for the dead ear space. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. I don't know. It is 54. Hare Krishna, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudiraya. Krishna Swadama Pagate Dharma Gyana Divisa Kalonasta Deshamnesha Paranarko Dunoditaha. This Srimad Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. Bhagavata Uru Vikramangrishaka Nakamani Chandrikaya Nirashtatape Hridi Katam Upasidatam Punasa Prabhavati Chandra Ivaritir Katapaha Bhagavata Uru Vikramangrishaka Naka Mani Chandrikaya Nirashtatape Hridi Katam Upasidatam Punasa Prabhavati Chandra Ivoditir Katapa Bhagavata Uru Vikramangrishaka Naka Mani Chandrikaya Nirastatape Hridi Katam Upasidatam Punasa Prabhavati Chandra Ivoditir Katapa Thank you. Nakamani Chandrikayana Rashtatape. Riri Katamu Pasita Tambunasa. Pravati Chandrai Vaditer Katapa. Bhagavata Uru Vikramangrishaka. Nakamani Chandrikayana Rashtatape. Hridikatam upasidatam punasam. Ladies. Bhagavata Uru Vikramangrishaka. Naka mani chandrikaya nirastatape. Pridikatam upasidatam punasa. Pravahati chandra evaditer katapaha. Bhagavata uru vikramangrishaka. Naka muni chandrikaya nirastatape. Rikatam upasidatam punasa. Bhavavati chandra ibodhiter kapatapa.
I was listening to a class last night, and Prabhupada said, this is LA 73, he said, we chant daily each verse. You should chant these verses by heart. Pronounce every syllable nicely. Even if you don't understand a single word, still try to pronounce. Because some of these verses are easier than others, of course, and some of them are a little choppy, and some of them are really hard. But even when you say, even if you don't understand a single word, try to chant nicely. So thank you very much, Prabhu's nice chanting. Bhagavataha. The Supreme Personality of God. Uru Vikrama, which have performed great heroic deeds. Angri, of the lotus feet. Shaka, of the toes. Naka, of the nails. Mani, which are like jewels. Chandrikaya, by the moonshine. Nirashtatape, when the pain has been removed. Hridi, in the hearts. Katam, how indeed. Upasidatam, of those who are worshipping. Puna, again. Saha, that pain. Bhavati can have its effect. Chandre, when the moon. Eva, just as. Urite, risen. Arka, the sun. Tapaha, the burning heat. How can the fire of material suffering continue to burn the hearts of those who worship the Supreme Lord? The Lord's lotus feet have performed innumerable heroic deeds, and the beautiful nails on his toes resemble valuable jewels. The effulgence emanating from those nails resembles cooling moonshine. It instantly relieves the suffering within the heart of the pure devotee, just as the appearance of the moon's cooling light relieves the burning heat of the sun. Reminds me of that verse Kapila says in the third canto. The splendor of their beautiful ruby nails resembles the orbit of the moon and dispels the thick gloom of one's heart. So if you ever get gloomy, you ever have thick gloom on your head? Anybody here experienced this?
I'm pretty much always in a cloud of something like that. But if you take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, whose feet do heroic deeds, the Lord's lotus feet act like thunderbolts hurled to shatter the mountain of sin stored in the mind of the devotee. One should meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a very long time. Purport. When the moon rises, the expansion of its rays drives away the distress of the sun's fierce heat. Similarly, the cooling rays emanating from the lotus nails of the Lord's lotus feet vanquish all distress for the Lord's pure devotee. According to the Vaishnava commentators, it is to be understood from this verse that material lust, exemplified by uncontrolled sexual desire, is exactly like a blazing fire. The flames of this fire burn to ashes the peace and happiness of the conditioned soul, who perpetually wanders in 8,400,000 species of life, vainly struggling to extinguish this intolerable fire. Pure devotees of the Lord place the Lord's cooling, jewel-like lotus feet within their hearts, and thus all the pain and suffering of material existence are extinguished. The word Uruvikramangri indicates that the Lord's lotus feet are quite heroic. Sri Krishna is famous for his incarnation as Vamana, the dwarf Brahmin, who extended his beautiful toes up to the outer limits of the universe and perforated the universal shell, thus bringing the waters of the holy Ganges to the universe. As apropos that this is in this verse today, right in the purport, this Vamana. What's the chances of that? Similarly, when Krishna was entering Mathura to challenge the demoniac King Kamsa, his entrance was impeded by a ferocious elephant named Kuvalyapita. Lord Krishna kicked the elephant to death, peacefully entered the city gates. Lord Krishna's lotus feet are so exalted that Vedic literature state that the entire material manifestation rests beneath his lotus feet. Samasrita ye padapalava pam mahat padam punya yashomara re. How can the fire of material suffering continue to burn the hearts of those who worship the Supreme Lord? The Lord's lotus feet have performed innumerable heroic acts, deeds, and the beautiful nails on his toes resemble valuable jewels. Effulgence emanating from those nails resembles cooling moonshine. It instantly relieves the suffering within the heart of the true devotee, just as the appearance of the moon's cooling light relieves the burning heat of the sun. Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Vande Rupa Sanatana Nirvigo Sri Jiva Gopalako. O Krishna, the very fragrant river of your loving pastimes, which is a million times sweeter than nectar, flows within the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. But instead of drinking it, that river, the calf of my mind prefers to enter a cave to drink the poison of sense gratification. O Krishna, O Lord of the calves, please quickly curb the calf of my mind with the stick of your mercy and bring it back to the river of your pastime. Rupa Goswami. Vaish gave me that verse. Vaish said, you got to learn this verse too. This is your verse. Anyway, I must announce that I'm back on book distribution after 6.5 weeks. It was very trying. I must say, I've been traumatized by my body. Physical pain. It was weird because I had this little growth, right? And it took 3 months to grow on my leg, and it turned out to be cancer. It was about as big as a quarter. So I go to the doctor, and he goes, that's squalus, whatever it is. We'll slice it off. So they numb it up and slice it off. And that thing took 3 months to grow. Within 1 week, it was so aggressive, within 1 week, it came back. So the doctor calls me after they did the pathology, and he said, we have to go deeper. So I went back to the dermatology, and they went about 3 inches by 3 inches, and they cut this thing out. And then they sewed it back together, and the guy says, go home and don't walk for 7 days. We don't want you to break open your stitches. Well, right before I had the surgery, I did the MCL. I caught a wave, and I just hit it wrong, and I thought I had torn it, but I didn't. I went to the doctor for that, and they said, no, it's just strained. So he said 6 to 8 weeks off that knee. That's after the first week of not walking on the surgery. So I had the surgery right on the same leg. And, you know, you take things for granted. I mean, you know, I play hockey and tennis and stuff, and your knees are very important for starting, stopping, turning, pivoting, these things. You can't do that when you have an MCL. So you got to wear the brace, and it's just been a nightmare. But the last 4 days, thank Krishna, I've been back out on book distribution, and it still hurts. I'm about 80% better. But you really, I'm not really so worried about death, you know, because, you know, death comes, you get hit by a bus or you have a heart attack, and, you know, you're gone, you're on to your next whatever you deserve. But the old age and the disease, these things can linger, and it's just, it ruins everything. It's no fun. I know my father's going to be 89, and you know, he doesn't like anything anymore. He doesn't even like to eat. And he's Irish, and he used to drink every single day. He doesn't drink anymore. I said, why don't you drink? I don't like it. 89 years old, I think I'll stop drinking. It's like a job meal. But what was my point? The point is that don't take things for granted. You know what I mean? I get out of my car just to get out and distribute books. I pick up my book bag or something, and if I turn wrong on the knee, it's excruciating. So it's like, and you know, I know it's Krishna trying to remind me, you know, that I'm not my body and don't get carried away in the material world and stuff. But on your day-to-day living, especially when your service is walking, I mean, I walk 8 to 10 miles a day when I'm on Sankirtan because you have to keep moving. It's not like you can just go to the airport and stand there. You have to walk all over the place. I walk at least 8 miles a day on Sankirtan. And you don't think about it until your knee swells up and you can't do it. Simple things like answering the call of nature. You can't squat. Your knee doesn't bend. It's just, you know, it's just trouble. So I'm not looking for, I'll be 61 in November, and I'm not looking forward to old age. But I want to try to be Krishna conscious, because then you have a chance. And according to these verses, my dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down somehow or other, he certainly doesn't undergo material existence like others, because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of Krishna can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. Prabhupada says here, a devotee becomes uninterested in the enchantment of material existence because he is rasagraha, or one who has tasted the sweetness of Krishna's lotus feet. There are many instances where devotees of the Lord have fallen down due to uncongenial association. But even though he falls, the devotee is never to be considered the same as a fallen karmi. The karmi suffers the result of his own fruit of reaction, whereas the devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by Krishna himself. Therefore, the pure devotee continuously remembers the lotus feet of Krishna and does not forget him, even for a moment. Wouldn't even forget him, not in exchange for all the opulence of the three worlds. Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called bhakti yoga, transcendental loving service to the Lord. And what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. So by practicing bhakti, and by constantly engaging in hearing, Shravanadi Jal, what's that verse? I wrote it down because I can't remember it. Tahan vishtaritaya pale prema pao ihan mali sechenya Shravanadi Jal. Shravanadi Jal, Shravanadi Jal. You know what Shravanadi Jal is? Not you, Bob. Anybody know what Shravanadi Jal is? We all know what this is. Ta-da! Shravanam, hearing. And Jal? Water. So we have this creeper. Prabhupada gave us the bhakti lata. We got this. So we have to water this with Shravanadi Jal. It's nitya Shravanadi Jal. It means all the time. Prabhupada said at least every day. If you can't do it all the time, at least you should do it every day. Now Prabhupada goes on in this purport to explain. The scientific discoveries of the material world can be equally engaged in carrying out Krishna's order. He wants his message of Bhagavad Gita to be preached all over. It may not be done so amongst those who have no credit of austerity, charity, or education. Therefore, the attempt must go on to convert unwilling men to become devotees. Lord Chaitanya, does that sound familiar? Unwilling man? Like that devotee Nathji who was saying he was associating with Prabhupada for 7 years, arguing with them about it because his guru was in Mayavada. And of course, eventually he was saved. Prabhupada saved him. But Lord Chaitanya has taught a very simple method. He taught the lesson for preaching the transcendental message through singing, dancing, and refreshment. That's not too hard, is it? Singing, dancing, refreshment. I mean, that sounds like something I'd want to do. Everybody wants to do that. That's all, when I'm out on Sangha, that's all people are doing. They're singing and dancing and they're trying to get refreshed. Now, their singing and dancing isn't always nice and their refreshment is usually scary. But this is the mood. The jiva, he wants to party. That's all we want to do. And on my old Vyasat, we are made of bliss. And we're walking around in these traps, you know, these sore, aching, nasty bodies that are just a bag full of nasty stuff. And we're trying to pretend that it's okay. We're trying to forget. I remember when Roddy was little, she was in denial about the dirty diaper. It's like, no, I don't do that. Like, yeah, you have to. So there's a book they come out with, right? Everybody poops. And then there's a dog and a cat and every animal and every species and everybody, they all have to. It's like, yeah, come on, honey, you know. It's something that you have to do, but it's such a gross thing that you don't talk about it. You know, nobody wants to go in there with you when you have to do it. It's one of those things like, it's part of life because we are in false ego consciousness because I am this body. I'm convinced. And that's why I act the way I do. That's why I think the way I do. Why? Because I'm motivated by my self-aggrandizement. I want to make sure that people think I did good. I look good. I sound whatever it is. It's a conditioning that controls each and every jiva. But his main interest is just to party. He just wants to enjoy. Now, if he forgets that the party's in Goloka Vrindavan, and that's the kind of party that he's looking for, then he finds himself at football games and concerts and malls doing all kinds of just trying so hard to enjoy something that is just, it's just fleeting. It's not there. You can't get it. Just like you try to grab something that's not there. It's subtle. Like Prabhupada says, you see a mango tree and you see the reflection in the water. You try to pick a fruit out of the water, you just get water. This is how it is when people are chasing after something that is near and dear to them, their sense gratification. So he has taught this simple method, singing, dancing, refreshment. If only the leading wealthy persons would agree to spend 50% of their income in the service of Krishna, as it is taught by the Lord, there is absolutely certainty of converting this hell of pandemonium to the transcendental abode of the Lord. No one will disagree to partake in a function where there is good singing, good dancing, and refreshment. Would you? I wouldn't. If somebody said, come on, we're having a party. We got singing, dancing, and refreshment. I'm like, man, I want some refreshment. I could use some refreshment. It was 100 degrees yesterday. It said, you know, you take out your phone and it says Orlando, 96. Real feel, 102. And you're out there, you can't even breathe. It's like you need gills. But people are just running around with huge bags of junk that they just bought in the mall. They're dying every heat. Their kids are crying and screaming. So you got to go up to them and you go, excuse me, hey, how you doing? You're having fun, right? And they're like, oh, God. You know, but that's what I do. One can remain, this guide is a path of perfection for everyone. One can remain in his own position. No one has to change anything, especially in this age of variegated difficulties. So we're in the age of variegated difficulties. Luckily, it's the variegated difficulties of the golden variegated difficulties because we get out of here if we're just not bad. If we can just be not offensive and take shelter of Krishna. Atapi te deva padambuja. Prashada lesha anugrihita evhi. His mercy, his prashad, if you get a little trace of it, Prabhupada said, not that you need it all, but if you just get a little trace of that mercy, then you get out of here. Now, we're lucky because we have so much. Prabhupada gave us so much that we can take shelter of. Because if you don't make a plan, usually things don't get done. It's just a fact. So, Vaisheshika Prabhu has many mantras, but one of his mantras he likes to say is, where attention goes, energy flows. And your preparation determines your destination. So we're here in our sadhana bhakti and we're trying to prepare for our destination, Goloka Vrindavan. So if we're determined and we want to do it, Prabhupada did say that. He said anyone can become Krishna conscious provided he wants to. And you have to want it more than anything else. So we have to take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's, what he's given us, and try to participate in the Shravanadi Jal as much as possible. And if we do that, we can make progress. Bhaktivinoda Thakur warns us that the desire for fame is deceitful and it's very powerful. What does he say here? I never thought of this much. I mean, I think about the Kama, Krodha, these things, but he says here that even if one, this is Hari Bhakti Vilas, even if one can give up material desires, the desire for fame is very difficult to give up. The desire for fame, which is compared to stool, is the root cause of all our anarthas. I'm going to read that again because I never read this. I just read this a week ago. I was like, Even if you can give up all material desires, I mean, I don't know what that's about. I mean, I pray for that. But even if you can give up all material desires, the desire for fame is very difficult to give up. This desire for fame, which is compared to stool, is the root cause of all anarthas. One should carefully avoid touching this stool in the form of desire for fame. Early in the morning, he should take shelter and give up anarthas. O mind, a shameless, low-born prostitute who eats dog meat is flagrantly dancing in my heart in the form of desire for fame. You know that prostitute? I know that low-born prostitute. She dances in my heart, and I think she's my friend. How stupid we are. How can pure love for Krishna ever find a place in my heart? Just serve the devotees of Krishna, who are his dear, unparalleled commanders. They can drive out this prostitute and enthrone pure love within my heart. So the process is there, and there's a way to do it. You take shelter of the pure devotees. Prabhupada practically, I mean, he did everything for us. We didn't know anything. And he spoon-fed it to us and made it so easy for us. Oh, mind, why are you scorching us both by bathing in the prominent defects of deceit and fault-finding? These arise out of duality and are like the oozing urine of a donkey. So you don't want to take bath in donkey urine. And you don't want to touch the stool of fame. And you do not want to party with that meat, that dog-eating prostitute is dancing in my heart. And you know how she got there. You know what I mean? We invited her in. We thought, hey, this is a party. There's a party in my heart. Oops. The feast is dog meat. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful because we have these desires. And if you're not careful, you might slip. And I have personal experience that when you slip, it's really hard to get back up. So it's really, it's important to stay in it. This is a lecture from Vrindavan back in 76. And Prabhupada starts the lecture by quoting Namam Duskritano Mudha Prabhupada Naranam. Prabhupada says, this verse, we have made this verse as a standard of examination. We haven't got to do everything, anything. Everything is already there because Krishna is the original guru. We just follow what Krishna says. Prabhupada says, the Krishna consciousness movement is the supreme welfare activities for the world. We're trying to stop the life of hogs and dogs. And then he quotes, Nayam deho deha bhajam riloke kashtan kamanarhati vidbujam ye vidbujam means stool eater. And what is their business? We see in Vrindavan many hogs, day and night, searching after stool. This is hogs and dogs life. This should be stopped. It is not possible for everyone to stop, but those who are intelligent and fortunate, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Erupe Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavanji Guru Krishna Kripaya Bhai Bhakti Lata Beej. So, you are all fortunate. You have taken to Krishna consciousness. You have the Bhakti Lata Beej. Proceed according to the principles. The first principle is Tad Vijnanartam Saguru Eva Bigachet. One of Prabhupada's the sannyasi disciples was sitting with him. Prabhupada asked him, what's the most important verse? And he immediately said, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevam, which I thought was a pretty good answer. Prabhupada said, no. Yasya Devi Prabhakti Tadeve Taguro Tasyaite Katita Hyarta Prakashante Mahatmanaha. Because if you don't have the guru, what are you going to know about the holy name? What are you going to know about Lord Chaitanya? You don't know anything. If you don't have the guru, you could go to India and just be completely lost, meeting gurus, yogis, sages, who knows, reading, who knows. There's so many things. Prabhupada came here and said, here it is. It's crystallized, condensed, made just for you. And he prayed to the Lord to make his words understandable by the lechas and yadanas. And Krishna blessed him with his nectar. He's got saffron mercy particles in his words. And when the pure devotee articulates, you can't help it. You get the saffron mercy particles. So Prabhupada goes on to say, Vedic knowledge comes from revelation and is not understood by mundane scholarship. Not by reading, not by grammar, no. Vedic knowledge is possible to be understood by a person who has got unflinching faith in the bona fide guru. Guru means representative of Krishna. So we take shelter of the representative of Krishna, and whatever pleases him pleases Krishna. We can know that. We take shelter of Prabhupada, we take up some service, and we sincerely follow. But Prabhupada says, this Krishna consciousness movement means follow the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his instructions are preach Krishna Upadesh. And this is Krishna Upadesh. Namam duskritanam mudha prapadyante naradama. This is not our manufactured words. This is Krishna Upadesh. Anyone who is not surrendered to Krishna, duskritanam. He is immediately classified into four groups. What are they? Duskritina, Muda, Naradama, Mayaya Pratigyana, Asuram Bhava Masrita. So it is a very simple thing. Who is Muda? One who does not understand Krishna. If one does not understand what Krishna, he is either Duskritina, which means sinful, Muda, restful, Naradama, lowest of mankind, and Mayaya Pratigyana, his so-called education and degrees, useless, because real knowledge has been taken away. So there's no need of fighting, but we can understand these are people in general. They are all classified within these groups. So we have to face them. Our Krishna consciousness movement is facing these rascals, these Naradamas, these Duskritinas, and we request them to become Krishna conscious. This Krishna consciousness movement, you cannot sit idly to show your gorgeousness in a secluded place imitating Haridas Thakur. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, no. You have to preach. That is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ammara Gaya Guru Hai Tarae Desh. This is really following Lord Chaitanya. Not to imitate Haridas. That is not possible. Even you could do that nicely. That is for your own safety. Supposing you are doing nicely. That is for your own safety. But one who is facing dangerous position for others' benefit, oh, they are very quickly recognized by Krishna. Nata tasman manusyeshu kaschin me priyakritamaha. So, if you face, just like fighting soldiers, they face danger for the country. They're recognized. Similarly, those who are preachers on behalf of Krishna, they're preaching people to take Krishna consciousness, they're great soldiers. So I'm very happy that you Europeans and Americans especially are helping. So please continue this process. That is a very easy way to be recognized by Krishna because he says, Natsatasman Manusheshu, Kaschin Me Priyakritamaha. Who? Who is preaching Krishna consciousness? So I thank you very much that you have come here in Vrindavan and you are traveling, preaching, So now let us dedicate this life for preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. Never mind we die by preaching, still it will be glorious. That's my prayer, that I die on Sankirtan. Hand somebody a Gita and die. That would be my way to go. But until I die, I've promised that I will distribute these books. And I want to read a little nectar out of Prabhupada's poetry here, just for fun. All of us should unite in purpose, flood the lands with waves of Krishna conscious preaching, crossing oceans, covering the world, penetrating the universal shell. It's like Vamana. Penetrate the universal shell. Go out on Sankirtan. Where are you going? Well, I'm going to go penetrate the universal shell. Please, please make a pledge on this very day. Give up all petty fault finding. Your hoarding of money, O God, brothers, is the cause of material sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada himself warned to avoid this danger. Give up your personal fortunes for the cause of the preaching. Sit together and make a special effort to plan for the practical use. Do not protest. Just join together and preach. Prabhupada personally gave that command as his final instruction. Take great care to carry out his order by adopting various preaching strategies. Otherwise, all your efforts are in vain. All your results will be spoiled. So be very careful in this regard, or later you will regret everything. Is it really such a difficult task for us to come together as a united movement? Yes. And why do all these things even need to be said? Please give up your stubbornness. Do the right thing. There is no time to lose. Oh, come forth now, dear God, brothers. This is the most auspicious occasion to unite. And this is 1957. Prabhupada was, his urgency, he was, you know, he really wanted to distribute these books and distribute Krishna consciousness all over the place, penetrate the universal shell. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his followers that one must act for the benefit of all living beings. And for a devotee, this work is the storehouse of happiness in the present life and in the next. So if we can dedicate ourselves to Prabhupada's instruction, stay immersed in Shravanadi Jal, then somehow or other, someday, I mean, I keep waiting for it to happen, I'm going to get a taste for the chanting. So when I'm chanting, I won't be thinking, all right, I'm almost done with my rounds, so I can leave, do whatever I have planned. I have this prayer that I can appreciate what I'm doing at the moment, because the passionate nature, it always makes you think ahead, and I got to do this, I got to do that. I try to slow down and stop in the morning at least and do this. This just jumped out of me out of Vaishya's book, 1973. Prabhupada. This is when they formed the BBT party, and Tripurari and a couple of men were traveling around to different temples to encourage them and sell, teach devotees how to sell, really how to sell the books. And of course, when Tripurari got there, he taught me how to sell the books. Of course, I was already selling books, but he said the way you do it is becoming purified by hearing and chanting. And when you were with the BBT party, you sold books and you read books, and that is all we did. There was no, we didn't read the paper or talk about this or that. We read the books and we sold books. That's all we did. So Prabhupada said, I approve of your program by sending your best men to train the others. Do it so that every devotee in this movement, that's every devotee in this movement, learns the art of distributing my books. It's so important. He also made a comment to the editors because there was a little, well, there were several mistakes and there was some grammatical errors. The prophet said, if there is one mistake in one book, you've spoiled the whole thing. You've murdered the whole book. So if there's any silly questions about the importance of editing, you can just look at this one sentence. If there is one mistake in one book, you murder the whole book. So when Prabhupada said, Jayadvaita, you're the editor, make it right. You give these books to somebody at Oxford or Harvard, and if they look in there and go, oh, the Petris, that's the planet of the trees, or something else, many other examples, it might not reflect good on Srila Prabhupada, because he's a Sanskrit scholar, he's a pure devotee, he gave us the books. So That's something we should hold on to. Now, I must say that if there were no edited books and we had the original books with broken language and stuff, there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. That's pure. It comes from Krishna and anybody can read it. But if your spiritual master says try to improve, like the back of this shirt says, always better service. That's one of Vaishya's things that, all right, we had a great festival. We did a lot of books. We had Sankirtan. Prasadam was great. How can we do it better? The mood should be, how can we, like he always said, 16 rounds, that's the minimum. Of course, I'm still trying to work on my minimum, but still, we have to hear and chant. And if you can take, you have to plan these things. You got to schedule it in your life. You can't stay up till 11 o'clock at night going, I got 14 rounds left for Bhuga. That is different. That's a whole different kind of sadhana. If that's what you got to do, you got to do what you got to do. But most people, most civilized people, they can schedule an hour and a half in their life, I think. I mean, if I can do it, I think almost anybody can do it. Because I'd rather be surfing and playing hockey, to tell you the truth. But, you know, I'm trying to be a devotee, and I want to get out of here. I don't want to suffer anymore. I'm motivated. It's like I read a thing in Mahanidhi's book about your Brahmin. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there about details that I never knew. And a lot of times I just wouldn't wear the thread. I'm like, I'm not doing any puja today. And it just gets in the way. It's hanging around. It's falling down your arm. It's a pain. You know? So I just hang it by the altar and I'd put it on in the morning, that kind of thing. But then I read that this Brahmin thread protects the devotee and the knots on it are protective. I should have brought it. I could have read it to you. But so it says, you never take it. I remember when I first got the thread, they said you only take it off when you change the thread, you put on the other thread, you chant the mantra, then you take off the old one. Right? So you never, ever are without it. But what I've noticed in the last couple of months, because when I hurt myself and I'm sitting, I read almost 4 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I was trying to, you know, be spiritual when I wasn't on a sankirtan. And when I read that, I thought, you know, I'm going to wear this Gayatri thread. I'm going to wear my thread because I need some protection. And as you feel that thread, it reminds you of Prabhupada and Krishna. I mean, even just on the basic tactile level, well, I feel it. When I'm walking through the mall, I feel my thread and I think, okay, I'm protected. So anyway, I've been wearing my thread. It's a little thing, but those kind of Udipans, they help me. You know? It gives me hope. Okay, it's almost 9. Does anybody have anything to add to this smorgasbord of nectar that we have going on here today?
Gotcha. It's 1967 when Prabhupada in New York Hospital, and Sasur Maharaj gives the story.
I read it.
That they, you heard that?
I read it.
Sasur Maharaj asked Prabhupada, what is actually mean of to surrender? Prabhupada quoted this verse. And within a short time, everybody in New York temple recited the whole verse, memorized the whole verse. Prabhupada said, in our movement, everybody should understand what is surrender means, that verse. Very nice.
Thank you. Ramanya?
Thank you for your nice lecture, Divyangaji. A technical, practical question. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, you, the Sankirtan leader in this community or temple person, what will you do to increase the book distribution?
What would I do to increase the book distribution in New Ramen Rated?
If you're in charge.
If I was in charge.
Hypothetically speaking.
I think Sri Vrindavan is a good Sankirtan leader. This Sankirtan book room, I told you this the other day, it's more organized than it's ever been. We have more books than we have. I don't personally have more books than I've ever had. Anybody listening wants to use some of their stored wealth. I always run out of books. You give me 1,000 books, I'll distribute 1,500. That's just the way I am. But that being said, there's more books and more organization here than there's ever been. And I've been here 20 years. So all I can say is that each devotee, every devotee in this community, and not the 30 that come here, the other hundreds, they should all put some little books in their car. And then just hand them to somebody. You never know what's going to happen. You give somebody a book. I was walking through the mall yesterday, and you know, they got those kiosks out there, and this girl had got the Perfection of Yoga earlier as I go around. And she comes up to me, and she's from Venezuela. She's smoking hot. And she comes to me, and she goes, I want to learn yoga. Can you teach me yoga?
And I said, well, this is bhakti yoga. And some people, you know, they think, where's the asanas? They look in the book and they want to learn how to sit. And I said, this talks about bhakti yoga. It's from the heart. It's devotion. It's love. And she says, well, can you teach me it? I said, as a matter of fact, I can. So I gave her the mantra card and I taught her the mantra. And she sat there with me and she chanted the mantra. And then she said, what does it mean? And I said, these are the names of God. And it says right on the card, you know, what it is. And it'll make you happy and it'll make you peaceful. And you can share it with your friends. And she was so happy to hear that because she told me she saw a lot of signs in Orlando for yoga. There's a lot of yoga studios. I don't know if any of them are teaching bhakti, but there's a lot of yoga studios. So it's, you know, it's fashionable. But I just thought to myself, you know, I just thought this is an opportunity to tell this person what yoga is. And that's what I do. I mean, I do that. I do it all the time. So I encourage people, whoever hears this, to put some little books in their car. And then just give them to somebody. When you go in Publix, give it to somebody. Just say, here's a book on inner peace. That's one of my mantras. I say, there's a book on inner peace. Wouldn't that be nice? And people relate to that. People are looking for peace. They're looking for some kind of something. What's your suggestion, Prabhu?
That was my question. You're answering with another question.
All I got to say is, help! I'm doing books. I go out, you know what I mean? And I'd love help.
That was a question.
Vaishnavananda Prabhu.
Thank you, Dhyana Prabhuji. And, basically, we were very fortunate to have good training from all the elite devotees, Tipperary, Pagoda, Shivashisi, back in the day, in Chicago, O'Hare Airport. But insofar, just a suggestion, it's ideal to carry books with you in your car, to carry some literature. I only have one thing to add, because what you said is perfect. That is, Prabhupada conveyed that sometimes when you give someone a book for free, then they're not fully appreciated. So it's always good to ask for some contribution. You're giving them the book. You say, this is, hey, Jimmy, I like it. Good guy. Take a sample with you. I say, it's great.
It completes it.
Yeah, completely.
They make a little sacrifice, and Vaishya always tells them, if you give something for something spiritual, you get the benefit of thousands.
Yes, I have a key line. I said, please help us with our mission. We help, you know, we feed 100 children.
We're missionaries.
In India, we do so much humanitarian, altruistic work. And so it's always, even if they say no, and they always keep that come out, just, you know, you're good.
It's the way it is out there. The jiva is looking for a party. Like, I walked up to this couple yesterday, Scottish people, man, wife, couple of kids, and they stop. And the man goes, whatever it is, no. And I said, that's right. Whatever it is, no. And I handed the wife a bhakti yoga. And the lady grabs a book and goes, oh, yoga. And so I go, you guys anywhere? Where are you from? I knew they were Scots. She goes, where are you from? Scotland? Anyone near Stirling? And I start talking about, because my grandfather's from Tyrone in Northern Ireland, you know, and I'm like, I can relate to you guys. The guy gives me $20. His first thing was, no, whatever it is, no, I don't want it. But I was thinking, I'm tenacious. I'm not giving up on this guy. This is a jiva. He's running to hell, taking a whole family with him. They're going to Disney. They're going to the mall. And then guess where they're going? They're going to hell. You know, so I'm thinking, not if I got anything to say about it, you know. So I gave him lollipops. I gave him books. The whole family was totally cool. Then I gave him a cookbook, too. I mean, he gave me $20. His friend. But this is our service. We're the ones that got it. You can go into that mall and you can ask for it. Like that girl was standing there asking for yoga. She didn't get anything. But when I showed up, she got Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya and she got the mantra. So that's why we're so valuable. Devotees are really valuable. You can't get this anywhere. You just can't. And most people aren't coming here. I've been here 20 years looking. People don't come out of their way. But if you go to them, you give it to them. And you guys don't have to jump out of your car and run around malls like me, crazy me. But if you don't have the books, you're screwed because you're not going to be able to give anybody anything. You should at least have mantra cards and books. Get some dum-dums and offer them to prop and give those to people. Everybody eats lollipops. 99 out of 100 people, you hand them a dum-dum, they grab it. They don't think, hey, who is this guy? They just take it. It's like Halloween, you know? They've seen it their whole life. It's a dum-dum. It's an American. They make them in Ohio. It's one of the only things we still make in this country. And me and Vaish have distributed like 60,000 of those things in the last couple of years. I've been doing lollipops since 1973, when it became a thing, you know, and the devotees said, you can't distribute those, they're cooked by karmis. So we wrote a letter to Prabhupada. I said, that's a great idea. You know, I mean, you have to do the needful. You can't just sit there and go, gee, I wonder what Prabhupada would want. No, you got to go, hey, open a book. He's going to tell you. You can open any one of these books anywhere, and you're going to learn something. Clutching the lotus feet of my spiritual master, I offer my obeisance unto him as well as all my instructing spiritual masters. Anywhere you touch these things, Prabhupada said it's like sugar. It's sweet everywhere. But it is on us. It's our duty to try to get them to the others. Because there's nothing wrong with these others. It's said right in the verse that it's not just pre-qualified people with credit, austerity, and knowledge. It's not just them. Anybody. And I'm the perfect example of it. Prabhupada picked me up out of the gutter and said, do this, don't do this, and that's what I did. It's a simple process if you're not a rat. Unfortunately, I'm a rat. Thanks for listening. Get some books, put them in your car. It's real easy. Sarva Vaishnava Rapaya Kari Namaskar Ite Aparadakichi Nahuta Om Tat Sat.